Good morning. Well, it's afternoon where you are.
It is, yes. Good afternoon.
So it's morning here in Hanoi. I'm slowly making my way back to Australia, just stopping over for a couple of days here. And it's interesting. It's good to be back in Vietnam.
Because I think you've had a lot of trouble, haven't you? Flight delays, cancellations,
Oh my
snow,
God.
strikes in Paris. You've kind of encountered every issue you could possibly encounter on your trip home.
And then, just when I thought, that's it, it can't get any worse, which is a dangerous thought to ever have about anything. I get to the airport yesterday, arrive in Hanoi, everything's fine, and I'm waiting and waiting and waiting for the driver that's been sent to pick me up and thinking, oh, that's really unusual for them to turn up late. It turned up too early. Had sat his car outside for too long, and they put a wheel clamp on his car.
Oh no, poor guy. Poor you, so you couldn't get to your hotel from the airport.
Well, meanwhile, I'm after 20 hours solid of flying and 2 weeks of frustration and disappointment. I let rip at this poor guy who doesn't understand a word I'm saying. And uses the voice translation app on his phone to try and convert Scottish Australian fury into words that he can understand. It was quite funny.
Oh no. But did he
Quite.
get his car back in the end?
He got his mate to come and pick me up, which was nice.
Oh, enterprising.
Right, talking about enterprising. Today, we're going to talk about a new way of creating cladding for buildings. And before that, we're going to talk about at some length this building in Melbourne, which just seems to be lurching from one disaster to another. I'm talking about the Aurora.
Oh, right. That's one of the big buildings in Melbourne, isn't
It's the third tallest residential building, and it has 1,002 apartments. I'm Jimmy Thompson. I write the flat chat column for the Australian Financial Review.
And I'm Sue Williams, and I write about property for Domain.
And this is the Flat Chat Wrap.
So, what's happening at the Aurora?
It's hard to tell because they've had a big meeting, and as far as I know, they still haven't counted the votes. But basically, you've got a huge building. You've got somebody who got themselves elected chair of the committee a couple of years ago. People are saying using a lot of proxy votes because the limit of 5% of proxy votes per owner only came in Victoria either last year or the year before. So they're still living with committees that have been kind of dominated by individuals in some cases. So, in the case of the Aurora, they had one person who basically dominated the whole building. Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing in itself. It's not great for democracy, but it led to quite a few problems there, and more to the point, an inability to deal with them.
Oh no.
And they had a big meeting a couple of weeks ago, at which 200 people turned up on Zoom to sack the committee and elect a new one. And apparently, the voting was 199 in favor and one vote against.
Wow.
And they're saying that 200 people attending a strata general meeting in Victoria is a record. And I'd probably think that's a record for the whole of Australia, actually, to get 200 people at one meeting. But even so, there's no guarantee that they've got this over the line, because if the chair's committee members all vote in her favor with their maximum allocation of proxies, then the motion would be overthrown. But the most obvious signs of the problem has been that the chair has sacked two different building management companies and installed somebody who she obviously prefers into the job of building manager. It's somebody apparently is a former Olympic swimmer but he's a 70-year-old bloke earning quite a lot of money to be a building manager. And people are saying he's not a building management company. He doesn't have any experience at all. There's been video circulating of him taking packages, you know, Amazon delivery packages and things like that, from behind the manager's desk at the front of the building and putting them outside in the rain, like throwing out people's packages because they didn't want to store people's packages behind the management desk.
Oh, my God. It sounds awful.
Oh, it gets worse. They'd been imposing fines for people who were collecting their Uber Eats and their other food deliveries from the foyer were being issued with a $50 fine for breaking some bylaw or something. It's just, you know, all these arbitrary fines and penalties going up everywhere. Somebody got locked out of their flat for 3 days because they cancelled the keys because they suspected that they were running an illicit Airbnb operation. So they couldn't get into their flat for 3 days.
Wow. That's awful.
Yeah, I mean, part of the problem with reporting this kind of thing is the woman concerned is, let's just say, she has a large support among overseas investors, and she musters her troops using WeChat. And other people just don't have access to the communications that are going out. So there's basically, people are being put under pressure, it has been alleged, to support her, and other people just support her because it's the most natural thing for them to do. So they've got three cases at the Fair Work Commission of people who've been summarily dismissed with her own friends put in place. That's an allegation. Just, I don't know if that's provable, but we do know that there are three cases at the Fair Work Commission, and there are two cases at VCAT, the Victorian Tribunal, and that's a whole other set of problems because it's in complete disarray. We might talk about that later. It has just been alleged that the building companies concerned, the building management companies concerned that were sacked, have discovered that the meetings at which it was decided to sack them were not quorate, and so the decision was ineffective. So the building now effectively has three building management companies running it.
Geez, and presumably they all expect to be paid.
Well, I think they're all trying to manage the building, plus this 70-year-old Australian swimmer who is in the shot put as well, judging by the way he gets rid of packages from the foyer.
Oh, look, it just shows, I suppose, when things start to go wrong, they can just go horrendously wrong. When buildings are big and the legislation is woefully inadequate.
Yeah, and they're building, they don't get much bigger than that. So this is still got to be played out, and it could quite possibly be that the vote that was taken the other day could consolidate the chair's position. And they have to deal with that. But the residents, they're facing huge legal bills. Not, first of all, they're going to have to find some way of paying out the previous managers if a tribunal decides that. Then they've got the cost of legal defense because they are going to defend any cases that are taken against them. And they're just all this money mounting up for no reason. They're just having to pay tens of thousands of dollars for no reasonable outcome. It's just crazy. And the problem is, despite what anybody in Victoria tells you, the Victorian system is absolutely screwed. It is not built for the kind of buildings they have in Victoria at the moment. We'll talk about that later on.
Sure. Well, no, it's difficult, isn't it, really? I mean, I suppose in New South Wales, we think we're kind of ahead of the eight ball, aren't we? But there are issues in New South Wales as well, and there are issues in Victoria, issues in Queensland, Australia and Northern Territory too.
But I feel like in New South Wales, we've been through all this stuff and we've hammered it out and we've found ways of dealing with it. It's not perfect by any manner of means, but at least we have structures in place. I mean, had this happened in New South Wales, there would already have been a compulsory manager put in place, because our tribunal has the power when any kind of case comes before them. It is in the Act that they are allowed to look at the situation and go, well, this is one small issue, but it's obviously indicative of something seriously wrong in a building. And the tribunal, without anybody applying for it, can put in a compulsory manager to sort things out. Now, I don't know if they have that capacity in Victoria, but it's not effective if the tribunal can't even meet. Because I was told just the other week that the tribunal in Victoria is now issuing hearing dates for 2025.
Oh, my goodness. Not even 2024.
No.
2025. Wow.
Yeah.
So people were having to kind of just have their lives on hold, presumably, while they're waiting for judgments in certain cases.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll pick that up and see exactly what the problems are in Victoria after this.
And Jimmy, what do you see as the fundamental problems in Victoria with strata?
Okay. The way the system is built is it's kind of built on an old grace and favor system in the past, you know, where they kind of trusted people to get along nicely with each other. And it's certainly not designed for buildings that have more than 1,000 units in them. And one of the things that I think one of the fundamentals in Victoria is owners do not have the right to attend strata committee meetings.
Wow, not even to observe.
Not even to observe. As you know, in New South Wales, any owner can turn up at a strata committee meeting. They have the right to turn up. They don't have the right to speak, but they do have the right to observe and see what's going on and hear what decisions that are being made. In Queensland, that same right applies with the proviso that you have to tell the secretary that you plan to attend. Okay? In Victoria, no, they can't. You just have to tell them. So you still have that right to attend. In Victoria, you have to be invited to attend by the secretary, which is basically a veto. You can say to the secretary, I want to attend this meeting. The secretary can just say, well, that's not practical. No, you can't come. And that's obviously there's a level of transparency there that doesn't exist. Committees can make decisions without any comeback from the owners while the decisions are being made, because nobody knows what those decisions are. If they choose not to have a full accounting of the decisions in their minutes.
Everywhere you've got the right to sort of see the people who are governing your life, whether in politics or, you know, this fourth tier of government apartments.
Yeah.
You've got the right to sort of see what's being decided and by whom and why.
Yes. And so that completely undermines any notion of owners having control of their own buildings, because it's then they elect these people. I mean, the whole thing is so woolly. They changed the law. It used to be that they could have a maximum of 12 people on their strata committees, and they decided this was unwieldy. So they changed the law to say you can only have 7 people on your committee, except if you decide to have 12. They changed the law, but didn't really. It just made it that you had to decide to have more than the statutory 7. I mean, it's all that kind of wooliness that you quite obviously the people who are writing strata law in Victoria have never lived in apartment buildings and have never been on strata committees, because they're designing their laws on some sort of utopian idea that everybody's going to get along well with each other. And then when they don't, the law just falls apart. And one of the things in Victoria with the tribunal is that they're dealing with the post-COVID effect of rental disputes. And that is apparently, reports say, that they are completely consumed with dealing with disputes between landlords and renters. which, you know, they should be dealing with that stuff. That's important stuff. But it means it's completely, the tribunal system in Victoria is so inadequate that all it takes is one major problem and everything gets thrown out the window, as evidenced by the fact that they're now issuing hearing dates for 2025. It's ridiculous, just absolutely ridiculous. And no sign of any relief, as you pointed out, for people. They're just having to wait and wait and wait to get any kind of result.
Yeah. It sounds like a real crisis, doesn't it, really? I wonder if the Victorian government are thinking of stepping in at any point.
Well, you know how governments work in these things. To step in and fix things would be an admission that they've got it wrong. And governments do not like admitting that they got things wrong. But this is quite clearly at their door. The reports we're getting on Flat Chat, people are just riding roughshod over strata law in Victoria because they know that nobody can do anything. There's people have been writing to us about a building where the strata committee is clearly dysfunctional and they're not repairing the building. The building is falling down, but the people on the committee are not repairing the building and they're not letting other owners know that the building is in disrepair. Because presumably at some point they want to sell out and make a maximum profit. The owners who do want to repair the building, who do want to do the right thing, have been demanding an AGM for the last 2 years. And the current committee has sent out a message to owners saying, we've decided not to have an AGM because we fear it's going to be hijacked by people who want to disrupt things and elect a new committee. So that's the reasoning for not holding the AGM that they should have held 2 years ago, is that they might lose at the election. It sounds like a dictatorship. And again, the people in this building, they've gone to the Premier, they've gone to the Minister for Fair Trading, they've gone to the media in Victoria, and nobody's interested. I mean, they're getting zero response. They're not even getting a reply to their letters because it's like the bad old days here in New South Wales. Remember when nobody was writing about strata, which left the field wide open for us, it has to be said. But it's the same in Victoria. Until this story about the Aurora came up, nobody was writing about strata because they didn't understand it and they don't care. Well, maybe the Aurora thing will change that.
Oh, let's hope so. I mean, you know, you kind of always hope that some good comes out of such bad stories, really.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. But you have a good story for us. So we'll talk about a good cladding story after this. And we're back. Sue, to what? A good cladding story? How could that possibly be the case?
Yes, and this is coming out of Melbourne as well. As we know, we've had so many problems with flammable cladding on apartment buildings, and many of them, much of the cladding is being taken off and replaced. Some of the cladding is still there while people kind of worry about what to do with it and the price and the cost. But there is a new cladding material that's just coming onto the market now, and that's just been discovered. It's just been invented, really, by RMIT University.
Right.
It's a new fire-safe cladding. And it uses recycled glass.
All right.
Yeah,
well, that's good.
Yeah. They comprise 83% recycled glass. It was developed by RMIT in conjunction with materials technology company Livefield. Materials are cheap and they're robust and they're fire resistant. That provides a really good alternative for a lot of buildings which are looking at stripping off their flammable cladding and looking for something good and environmentally sustainable to put back on. But the good thing about this is that, you know, there's so much glass used around the world and it's so much is put into recycling.
Yeah.
It's kind of great to find a use for so much of that glass, really.
Yes.
So hopefully with the development of this material, glass can be used in a lot more other materials as well that people are looking to replace, you know, more expensive or less sustainable technology.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what the situation with glass recycling is, but, you know, when you read these stories about warehouses full of allegedly recycled plastics that nobody can actually do anything with because we don't have the systems in place. I wonder if there's a great bottle bank somewhere that's looking for uses for the bottles. I'll tell you what, the coming crisis that no one has spotted yet. So this is it. You're hearing it for the first time. These fiber reusable shopping bags that you get everywhere you buy something these days.
Yeah.
They've got to be building up. So somebody's going to be saying soon, we've got this landfill full of Hessian bags.
Oh, God. Well, hopefully that's very sustainable. I mean, it's very recyclable, isn't it, really?
I don't know.
One would hope so. But then we always thought plastic could be recycled into lots of other things. And
there you go.
We don't seem to be doing so well with that, really.
So maybe buildings covered with Hessian bags will be the thing of the future. All right. And on that note, Sue, I think it's time to bring another international version of the Flat Chat Wrap to a close. It's been interesting doing this. I hope the sound quality has been okay for our listeners. It sounds okay.
And you'll be back in Australia for next week, won't you?
I will.
So that's
well,
fantastic.
I will if the cars turn up and the planes turn up and I don't get another cancellation, I will be back.
Excellent. I'm glad to hear it. I look forward to seeing you.
Thanks for taking part in the other end of this conversation. And thank you all for listening. Talk to you again next week. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Flat Chat Wrap podcast. You'll find links to the stories and other references on our website, flatchat.com.au. And if you haven't already done so, you can subscribe to this podcast completely free on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or your favorite podcatcher. Just search for Flat Chat Wrap with a W, click on subscribe, and you'll get this podcast every week without even trying. Thanks again. Talk to you again next week.